Amen. What a beautiful testimony to be able to sing from the bottom of your heart. And I hope every one of us this morning can sing from the bottom of our hearts. Hallelujah. I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood, I now am saved. Interestingly enough, that goes beautifully with what the Lord laid on my heart to share this morning. And let's open with prayer and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning, for the sunshine. But Lord, I thank you most of all, above all things, that hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Lord, thank you for the presence of Jesus Christ here with us this morning. Thank you for the assurance, the joy, the peace that passes all understanding that can be ours through knowing him, through walking with him. Father, I pray as we open your word this morning that you would be glorified, lifted up, and exalted in our hearts and our minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning with just a question. And you don't necessarily have to answer it verbally, but just think about it for a minute. What is the thing that all of humanity is seeking? All down through the ages, what is the thing that humanity has been seeking? And what I see looking back through history, what I see looking in my life, what I see looking in the world around me is peace. Humanity wants peace. We're not good at obtaining it. We don't know how to get it. I mean, how many years have we heard again and again and again all these different peace talks in the Middle East and peace conferences and all the big world leaders coming together to have peace talks and peace conferences? Not just in relation to that, but even in just that small, that one little area, just there's a yearning and a longing in the human heart to find some peace. There's a desire and a longing in the human heart placed there by God to find peace. And until we do, we're unsettled, we're back and we're forth and we're up and we're down and we're over here and we're back over there and we're dragged in so many different directions. So many of the things that people use and abuse as far as alcohol and drugs and things like that, what they're really seeking for is some kind of peace. What they're seeking for is something to dull the pain and the misery of a life that is devoid of peace. And I guarantee, I'm willing to bet that if you have lived for more than, say, 10 years on this earth, you probably already feel, at least at times in your life, this yearning, this longing. Maybe some people more than others because of the life that they grew up with, the difficulties and the hardships. But you're going to come across and find in your own heart, in your own self, if you live for very long, you're going to begin to discover that your heart is yearning and longing for peace. Your heart is yearning and longing for something quiet. Something settled, something that just brings the craziness of this world, the pain and the suffering that either you've experienced or you see around you, and calms it and quiets it and brings some type of peace. That's what we as humans long for. We strive for it. We fight for it. I mean, the dream, right? The American dream, but the American dream is simply verbalization of the human dream, right? Is to have enough to where you can just settle down and have a peaceful life. It's to somehow, if I get enough things, maybe that'll bring me peace. If I don't have to work so hard, if I don't have to set an alarm and get up in the morning and go bust my back every day to make ends meet, maybe that'll give me peace. Maybe having enough that I can, you know, take care of my family without worrying and stressing and fretting, maybe that'll give me peace. Really, it is simply an expression of the desires and the longings of the human heart to have peace, to have something settled, some what do they call it, financial security. What is that? Well, financially speaking, that's peace. That's the ability to not have to worry, to not have to fret, to not have to exert myself overly much because I know it's going to be all right. And in this world, as much as human beings have, since the fall in the garden, striven for, sought for, and longed for peace, we, as human beings, continually find ourselves falling short of attaining it, right? Everybody, they try all these different things, and when they get, sometimes earlier on in life, sometimes later on in life, but at least by the end of their life, you meet these jaded old people who are just broke down and wore out, and they just, I've fought and worked all my life for just a little bit of peace, and it just melted through my fingers. I got all the toys, and I realized it didn't satisfy. I pursued all the fun, and it was empty. I found myself broke down physically and weak and dying from the substance abuse that I turned to try to find peace. I found myself a chained slave to the financial obligations that I got myself into to try to have some semblance of peace. I find myself always short. I find myself always running up against an insurmountable mountain that's insurmountable for human beings. There is no humanly attainable way to actually accomplish the one thing that we all long for, that we all desire, and that we all pursue so hard as humans. So how do we find peace? How do we get to where we want to be in this life, in our Christian life? I want to start this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now here we go, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? How? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What is the means? Who is the means by which we can actually achieve not just a little bit of peace, but he says multiplied unto you, multiplied unto you, the thing that men and women down through the ages have sought for, killed themselves for. It's here. It's right here. Through knowing Him. Through knowing Him. How beautiful. It's so simple. But yet, the greatest minds in history and in our world blow right past it because it's too simple, it's too easy, and yet at the same time, it's too hard because I'll give up anything except me. I'll give up anything except my will. I'll give up all of my money, all of my time, all of my health, all of everything to try to attain peace. People sacrifice their marriages and their children on the altar of seeking after peace every day. All of those things, we as human beings, more or less, different people more or less, but we find ourselves willing to sacrifice those things, even important things, on the altar of pursuing peace. But yet, there's one thing that we're not ready and willing as human beings to lay down and sacrifice in order to find peace. And that is, I want to do what I want to do. And it starts from the tiniest little baby all the way up through the oldest person. I want to do things my way. I want to be my boss. I want to be in charge. So we blow right past the answer, which is sitting here, so clear, so obvious. And he doesn't just say, how do you attain a little bit of peace? No, peace multiplied. Multiplied peace. How do we receive that? Where does it come from? Through knowing God and Jesus our Lord. That is the only way. That is the only way you or I will ever attain any measure of peace. It comes through Him, through knowing Him. You see, he goes on, he says in verse 3, he says, according as His divine power, that means His uninhibited kingly God power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Again, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's so clear. It's so clear. All things that are needed for life and godliness, where do we get them? Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, everything eternal, everything spiritual, everything of any real value and merit comes to us through Christ. And you know, what's interesting is if you look through Scripture and you look at the way Scripture defines the truth versus a lie, it actually boils down to, or a lie, or something that's not true, something that's not realistic. It boils down to whether it's going to last or not. It boils down to whether it's eternal or whether it fades away. According to the Word of God, the truth is characterized by the fact that it always will be. It always has been. It always will be. So if you have something that is not going to last, then in a sense, according to the way that Scripture handles it, that's not the truth. It can be fine. It can be not a falsehood. But according to the Word of God, the things that are eternal, that is truth. And how do we come to know and to receive all of these things, that the true things that are actually truly needed for joy, for peace, for fulfillment? Through the knowledge of Him, through knowing Christ. It doesn't come through to us through religion. It doesn't come to us through some religious experience. It doesn't come to us through living right, quote unquote. It doesn't come to us through doing what we think we should or what people think we should. It doesn't come from looking right, smelling right, dressing right. It comes to us through a relationship with Him. Some of those things that I just mentioned are fruits that will then flow out of knowing Him, but those things will never help us reach Him or attain or actually encounter the peace that the human heart longs for. I believe we sang it this morning. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. We cannot truly know Him without being changed. But pulling together and trying to accomplish those changes does not help us to get to know Him. And pulling together and trying to accomplish those changes does not help us encounter the peace which we seek. That comes to us, Scripture says, through Christ alone. Through knowing Him, through getting to know Him, through getting to walk with Him, learning to love Him, learning to appreciate Him, learning to value Him, learning to know who He is, to know His character, to know His faithfulness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't be all tied up in knots of anxiety, worry, and fretting if I truly know and believe that God has this under control and that He loves me. What is there to be worried about anymore? What is there for me to be all tied up in knots and anxiety about if I truly know my Father, and He truly is my Father? If I truly know my Savior who promised I'll never leave you or forsake you? It comes to us through Him. And so many times from our perspective, without even saying it, but if I don't say it, sometimes I hear other people say it, right? It comes to our mind or our emotions at least. Well, if I could have just had a better home life. Well, if I could have just had a family who loved me more, or who didn't make all these mistakes. If I could have just, you hear these excuses all the time, right? You hear these excuses, if I could have just had such and such better. If my family or my friends weren't so against God. If they weren't such a bad influence on me, if they weren't constantly luring me away into all these other things, then I could pursue a relationship with God. Then I could have peace. If I had grown up, differently, if I could have got just a little further, if I could get just a little further ahead financially, maybe have a little more time, then I would be more peaceful. Then I wouldn't feel so fretful and so stressed. If it wasn't for that particular Christian who was just mean to me that one time, or if it wasn't for that one particular person who claimed to be following the Lord but was hypocritical in the things that they said versus the things that they did, if it wasn't for that one pastor who said something that stepped on my toes and I didn't like it, if it wasn't for whatever your excuse, if you had every physical thing in your life tweaked and honed on a mixing board that you yourself could adjust just exactly how you wanted it, you would find inevitably that you're not happy still, that you're still not peaceful, that you're still not settled. That you still feel a void. You still feel an emptiness that's just not getting filled. Why do people who have all the things, all the toys, all the money, why are they continually chasing more? If those things satisfied, why are they still chasing them? Why are they still trying to buy a bigger yacht and a bigger house and 10 more houses and, get more money in the bank and more fun things. And maybe if I get one more golf course that I personally own, maybe if I do all these different things, maybe if I can become a really well-known musician, or maybe if enough people know my name, maybe if I can get enough likes on my social media or whatever it is, people are always chasing these things, thinking they're going to satisfy, but yet the proof is in the pudding that they don't, because if they did, people would stop chasing them, right? But they don't, because they can't satisfy a hole and a longing that can only be filled by Christ, that can only be filled by knowing Him.
all of these things that we all long for and seek after, they come to us through Him, through Christ, through knowing Him. And the world around us, in general, in mass, rejects it because they want to reject His kingship. They want to reject His authority, because if that's true, if God is all, if He actually created me and He created me to need Him, then I have a responsibility to Him. He's the boss. He has authority. He's the king. He's the only answer. I don't like only one answer. Humanity doesn't like only one answer. We really, really like, there's a huge push towards the concept of my truth is just as good as your truth. You can have it your way. Go for it if that makes you happy, but I can have it my way too. And I don't have to do it the same way as you, and that's okay, because I'm just as good as you are. And my prophet is just as good as your prophet. And my religion is just as good as your religion. And they all go to the same place anyway, right? And you find very quickly that everyone who claims tolerance and who preaches tolerance as a religion, they are tolerant of anybody and everybody except those who say this is the way. We'll be tolerant of everybody who's willing to tolerate anything and accept and applaud anything. But if you are going to say, no, John 8 says Jesus is, or John 14 says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, now I'm not tolerant of you anymore. Isn't it funny how that changes? We can be tolerant. The world is tolerant of any crazy, I mean, the ideas, the concepts that people come up with and that they tout and that they preach is just so obviously stupid. So obviously out of sync with reality, so obviously out of sync with common sense, and yet anything goes. You can believe anything you want except that yours is the only way. You can believe anything, and I'll applaud you, I'll support you, I'll stand behind you, I'll say, hey, you go, you do your thing. But if you tell me that there's one answer and one answer alone, and His name is Jesus, oh, you're hateful. You're a terrible person. You're divisive. You're all of these different things. But yet, it's so plain and clear through all of Scripture, and I find so much of the broader church in America trying to water this down because they don't want to bear this reproach. But there is only one way of salvation. There is only one truth. And it's Christ. There is only one way to God, and it's Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And He knew what He was talking about. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son of God, if Jesus Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, I don't want that. I want to find my own way to freedom. I want to find my own happiness. I want to find my truth. How arrogant do we tiny little creatures become walking around saying, well, my truth is just as good as God's truth. My truth is that I am God. I am part of the Godhead, you know, part of the being, the essence, the power, the whatever you want to call it. And it's all geared around, I'm just as good as everybody else. And it all goes back to Lucifer. I will be like God. And every little child, son and daughter of Adam, inherits this nature of, I want to be my own little God.
I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person, my own king, my own authority. And what I think and how I feel is going to be my ultimate rule and going to be my ultimate truth and my ultimate, that's all I care about. And you can be different. You can have your own truth. That's fine. I'll allow that. But don't you dare tell me my truth is wrong. But there is a way, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus says. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 20. This is a longer section, but I want to point out, as the apostle here is laying out how salvation works, how the Christian life works from the very beginning and new birth all the way through to the end, to glorification, to heaven, and how it has worked all the way through from the dawn of the salvation plan. First, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" This is speaking of God. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of who? His dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. This is all through Him. This is all by Him. This is all in Christ Jesus. And we go down through here, and it's all stems from Him, by Him, and for Him, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You see, when Scripture lays out how all things work, it's by Him, through Him, for Him, in Him. It's all Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's by Him, it's through Him, it's for Him. Did you notice as we read through those verses, everything, how many times He again reverted our attention back to it's Him, it's Him, it's Him, it's Him, it's Him. Because how quick and how easy it is for our hearts and our minds to go, it's Him, yay, now I'm going, no, stop. Now I nothing, it's Him. It's Him. I love the little story, the hypothetical story that Alistair Begg tells about the thief on the cross, and just picture as he comes to heaven and he stands before the gates and they say, well, you know, how are you here? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, you know, have you been a member of a church for how long? Never. I don't even know what a church is. Well, have you been baptized? No, I don't know what that is. What is that? Well, have you read the Bible through? How many times have you read the Bible through? I don't know. I've never read the Bible. What did you do in your life? Well, I was a thief and a murderer. What are you doing here? And finally, they get down to it and they say, well, why are you here? And he says, the man on the middle cross told me I could come. The man on the middle cross told me that I could come. It's through him.
All these other things, even the important things, they're peripheral to him and knowing him and walking with him and finding him to be the fulfillment of all. All of these things, even the righteous, good Christian things, they're still secondary and peripheral to the fact that a true Christian life and a true successful life at all will be based off of, founded around, centered around, built on, hanging on to, clinging on to, resting on, and depending on him and him alone. In Christ. In Christ alone. We were just in Colossians 1. Turn over to Colossians 2. He's continuing this same theme. He's talked a bunch of different things, but he's continuing this same thing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, he says that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Aren't there a lot of men and women around trying to beguile us daily with enticing words? But he says, I want to make sure you know and are fully assured, full assurance of understanding that you absolutely know that you know that you know and that you understand and it's fully settled that you realize and you latch on to and you're confident and solid in the fact that in him is everything. In him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm warning you, lest anyone should beguile you, lest anyone should trick you, lest anyone should pull you away, because there's a million little side roads to get pulled off down. And some of them run so closely parallel to the truth that it's hard to spot sometimes. But I want you to know, he says, with full assurance that in Christ Jesus is everything. In Christ Jesus is all. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Skip on down to verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And then I'm going to reiterate it. He says in verse 9, he says, in case you missed it, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. He's hammering this home again and again and again and again through the book of Colossians, saying, I want to make sure you know. I want to make sure you get it. I'm going to say it from three or four different angles because you got to know it's in him. Don't get deceived by all the philosophies, all the heady, oh man, it just makes sense. I don't know how to argue against it, but yet it's taking away from the power and the sufficiency of Christ. That's all I need to know. Because I know in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, beware, stand on guard, because it's happening all around us. All around us, there are ideologies, there are philosophies, even infiltrating into churches, that are tweaking away from and moving away from a full, absolute, with no clauses, unqualified statement and belief and standing that he is all. And in him is all.
And it's so sneaky. It's so subtle. He says, beware, because it's coming. It has come. It's continuing to come. And they will try to spoil you and pull you away from a full leaning on, resting on, trusting in, and being satisfied with Christ. For in Him dwelleth all. Not some, not most, not almost all, but all. It's in Him. It comes to us by Him, through Him, for Him. We don't need to be chasing things, people, ideologies, a new way of looking at something, a new perspective, some new idea that really catches and tickles the heart and the mind. What does he say? Tickles the ears of the hearers. Just makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel satisfied. In Him dwells all you will ever need for life and godliness. All of it. And he says, and you are complete in Him. As long as you stay in Him, rest on Him, lean on Him, you're complete in Him. You have everything there available to you that you will ever need in this life and eternity. Through Him. Through Him who has called us. And ye are complete in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is so, so abundantly clear, Lord. We don't usually get led astray because it's murky and clouded. We usually get led astray because our hearts want something else. God, help us to walk, to lean, to rest on you fully, completely, trusting, believing, and knowing that in you is everything we will ever need. In you is everything we could ever legitimately want. And we can and are complete in you. Oh, Father, help us to fully lean into that, to fully embrace that, to fully rest every part of our faith, our life, our being on Christ Jesus, our Savior, to trust Him, to lean on Him, to rest on Him, knowing He is all. In Jesus' name, amen.